Now we're starting.
Perek Shlishi. And it's on me to solve. There's nothing as deep as the issue of the depth of a person's midas. Figuring it out is a tremendously difficult challenge, significant challenge. Let's go. Let's do it. Okay. So the first thing he's going to tell us is this process takes time. The process takes time. It takes time about the process of listening. Kasher nosim leiv lihisnahag huseinu b'meshat zman b'mushal. The person will pay attention to how we address things on a regular basis over a period of time. We will start seeing patterns. Nama v'es Hashem al-roi v'midus ha-poilus mekabit. So it's not necessarily obvious what's motivating me and what pushes me on any given day. But I can start seeing patterns of how I deal with things. What are the motivations? What talks to me? What doesn't talk to me? What address? I can see that. Okay. Over a period of time, you spar a little kimoy came and realize Azaminus Burgosha's bottle kimat li herit. If a person pays attention, he'll notice that certain things repeat themselves again and again and again, and certain things once in a while. So la'at la'at, nakar esmina senah he creates. We're going to start to recognize what are our primary meters, what are our secondary meters. Now, why is that important? It's very important. Kasha Hifli, Lavire, Admor, Morinino, Mabad, Viruka, Zip, the Rock, Hela Mabo, Hera, Mamor, Marmor Kufkin. Okay. We refer to Zakhom, that's the name for nowadays. So, Viruka, among the Shmuzim that he said in the Yeshiva, addresses this point. Now, the point really moves to a different step. I want to talk about the first step point that he said. He's saying, the nature of Midas is that A, if you're not made some leg, you will not notice that. We like to think positively about ourselves. So most of us look in the mirror and see a very nice picture of ourselves. Mirror on the wall, who's the fairest on the wall, and we see the nice parts of ourselves. We do. And I'm a master. Now, I met, there's a beautiful sefer called Peshmer Nefesh. Very, very, it's to be used with spirit and with care. It's heavy medicine. It can be very depressing if you use it right, if you use it the way he suggests. So he talks about the lakuna of a person making a Peshmer Nefesh, and then there's each day on specific areas. He suggests having 13 targeted areas that you want to work on. And then seeing how well you do with them over a period of 13 weeks, each week focusing on one of the meters. But also keeping track of all the ones at the same time. So it's a pretty intense process right there. So at the end of the day, you pull out your, you do a Chesh and Nefesh, and at the end of the day, how well you did in meter A, plus all the other ones, secondarily. And then next week, you do meter B, etc. So a person says, I'm a pretty truthful guy. Very difficult to deny that statement. I'm going to prove it. Okay, now, at the end of the day, you take a visit and say, how truthful were you today? You go through every single thing that you've done today. Did you act truthfully or not? So somebody tell you something which you didn't know, you didn't embarrass that you didn't know. You don't tell the guy that you don't know. So you nod your head like if you knew. So that wasn't truthful. Good. That's a thought in your so at the end of the day, you're this truthful guy, but you realize that you've probably done 6 to 10 or 15 compromising issues today which are borderline things that are not truthful. Well, you do it after a week, and you're no longer convinced that you're so truthful. But if you ever think about it, I'm a truthful guy. I'm a nice guy. I am. Right? But once in a while, I do things which are not so nice. Right? For other reasons, other motivations, other reasons. How often is that? I'm lazy, because I'm upset because a little bit of revenge. You know, what are the issues that I... Again, I make a... And each, the more I may seem naive to what I'm doing, the more I become aware that the picture is not very pretty. What's the redeeming factor, we said before? Once we believe that, that everything is rectifiable, so it's not so bad to look at. I don't know, it's a good thing. A person who has pimples and looks in the mirror and it has a mirror which covers over the pimples, so you don't see the pimples. Right? It's a nice looking in the mirror, but the mice, you walk around the whole day with warts in your face. A person has wart medication, he'd rather see the warts in the mirror and then put on the medication than not. Right? Well, it's uncomfortable knowing that I have warts, okay? It's more comfortable walking around with warts. A person has a COVID issue. A person has a caste issue. A person has a lashon hara issue. If we're not aware of it, we think people look at us as positive. He's a nice guy. Very careful how he speaks. People from the Beinerbecker are saying this guy is a bala lashon hara. Do we really want that? No. Right? We really would like that. You know, we should be seen truly as the way we like to see ourselves. The only way to do that is by seeing yourself truly and then correct. So, seem as lave is required. That's number one. Number two is over a period of time. Because your goal over here is not to find just actions but motivations. It's not just what you do good and what you do bad, but what's directing you? What are the characteristics of your nature which push you in a certain way? That's all the mabulogan. You know, I can notice it over a period of a few days. A period of time, I see patterns. That certain things, I always react to a certain way. Certain things arouse me, certain things affect me positively or negatively. It's not only negative, it's also positive. Certain mitzvahs speak to me more than others. Why is that? What are the patterns that I'm seeing? So the combination of everything together gives me a picture of who I really am. So I can see the good and the bad. That's the 2 points he says up to this point. Then he quotes a piece of Rabbi Ruchel, which if there's elements of it which are very Yiddish and sound like, you know, anti-yeshivish, like, you know, they were busy being iconoclast and breaking down all the things that we believe until now. So I want to tell you just a conversation that I had on Shabbos, which, you know, my wife asked me after this for clarification, which I probably should have clarified more when I said it, but I didn't because I had something in my Shabbos suda who took major issue with what I said and responded very significantly, strongly, and vehemently against what I said. It's not right. Maybe because I'm an old pushover, and he's younger, and he's still vibrant, and he's still. So I said the following. I want you to listen carefully to what I said. Let's say a person has an anger management problem. Let's say a woman has an anger management problem. So she has to deal with her anger. She's also impacting her family, her husband and her kids. Now she's a good person. So it pains her tremendously. She's hurting her husband and her kids. She's also walking around with tremendous guilt feelings about that she's affected, leaving a negative impact on her kids, which might affect them the rest of her life. Right? So the burden that she's walking around under is not just anger management. It's that she needs to address and meet her raw, but it's the negative impact that she's having on the people and the pain that she's causing. Right? So she starts a program to address her anger management problem. She starts, and we all know that the Gula Gaon says, Ivalis out of the cell of dark, Ivalis out of the cell of dark. A person's Ivalis, his foolishness, sends his path crooked. He complains to Hashem. That's the Pasuk of Hashem. So the Gula says, what's the Pshat in the Pasuk? A person decides he has to fix something. He says, no, I gotta fix it. He goes to another extreme. The nature of the being is you go to another extreme, you will not be successful. You can't. So the person jumps too quickly, the result is that he falls flat on his face. And he gets up and says, Rebbeinu Shalom. I had a real big problem. problem with the very X or issue of me to have. I really tried to fix it. You didn't help me. Come on, Lavelle. Why didn't you help me? I'm trying to be such a big sonic. You didn't help me. Brush him almost said it.
Comfort at all.
That's, says, and he didn't realize that by definition he took a path which will not work. The path to address a change it's a process. So a person decides that from now on I'm never going to get angry again. This is an absolute waste of time. And he learns all the most in the world, you know, for 3 days it works, and the fourth day the person, you know, explodes. Right? It's not, a person says, you know, my goal is if I had, you know, 20 outbursts a day, my goal is to lower it down slowly to 15. To 10. Right? So after 3 months, a person has now controlled himself, learned self-control, and went down from 20 to 10 a day. What do we say about the person? Tremendous accomplishment. Right? What does a person feel about themselves? Horrible. Because their issue isn't their anger management. Their issue is because the kids are going to grow up with being abused children because the mother screams at them. She's still screaming at them. So in her mind, it's an all or nothing proposition. And since it's not all, it's nothing. Now, whose thought process is that? That's the Yetzer Hara. Because the result is she doesn't do nothing. Because she can't do all, so she has to do nothing. Right? That's the problem. We all can relate to the problem, right? We can picture the problem. You know, we can picture the problem, right? Whatever the issue, the person has a problem being chronically late, and again, it's a problem which, you know, he's hurt. He's affected his wife. He's affected his kid. He's affected his business. Affected his boy. You know, whatever it is, but he has a problem. He's chronically late. This is his nature. He needs to overcome it. He's not going to become, you know, Mr. Orderly overnight. It's not going to happen. But just. Take care of time management. I mentioned to you before that I am, by nature, I'm a very disorganized person and a procrastinator and lazy. And I really like to be much more on top of my schedule. And I once went through and asked somebody for advice. Of course, this person's advice is the person who's one of the most organized and not lazy and non procrastinator people you've ever met. She says, well, just do. Handle some of your problems. Just get home. Right. Works very well. Just get home, you know. Tell the guy he's an alcoholic, just stop drinking. I'm an alcoholic when it comes to being disorganized. Just somebody, give me a program, I don't do it. Right? If you tell me stop drinking cold turkey, fine. But give me a support group. How to deal with it? Give me something. You can't just tell me just stop, you know. Okay. So I said, okay, so I said, now that somebody's not Kiddush. Here's the Kiddush. I'm giving the warning label. I am not saying this to absolve the person from responsibility for their actions. But there's almost an idea in Bechira in the world. This child was put in this home with a mother who has an anger management problem. Why the Russia put this kid here? The Russia could have taken this wonderful neshama and put him there where the mother's the sweetest, most wonderful woman in the world. Why the Russia put the kid here? Because the Russia wants the kid here. You know, there isn't much to be shared in this world. That's also part of the reality. The person sitting there saying, I've destroyed my child the rest of my life. You know what? If you are doing what you're supposed to be doing under the program that the person wants you to do, the results are not your responsibility anymore. That's the Russian's cash. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, sign them. If you're honest and say, listen, Russia, I want to change. I understand, based on whatever, you know, the chinuch of everything that the Russian you've told me, my process is to go from 20 to 19 to 18. Says, well, meanwhile, my kid is getting had the next. That's not your responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean that when the kid grows up and he, you know, does who knows what, you sit in Gan Eden and get reward for that. You know, there's a balance. I said, let's change the scenario. First of the problem, he has anger problems to the point that he murders people. So that he used to murder 20 people a day, and he really thinks it's a horrible problem. He's got to cut down. And he works himself, controls himself. He gets down to that 10 a day. He's still murdering 10 people a day. He's still retained. And Baz and Shomata, we're going to take him and we're going to kill him 10 times over every day, you know, if we could. But again, You know, so he doesn't tell me what he has. So, gentle, says, the rabbi says every person has the ability to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a Hebrew, and he's hurt somebody who you pay for it, and he's sending back the money, and he's guilty, and he should feel guilty, and he should be horrible. I said, okay, fine. You tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu, you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and you believe that 100%. Good. So please stop saying Lashon Hara right now, cold turkey. Never say Lashon Hara or Lashon Hara again. I can't. What do you can't? You could. You can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So let me ask you a question. You think Moshe Rabbeinu was born like Moshe Rabbeinu? Like Moshe Rabbeinu was born that Pasha, you know, Moshe never made mistakes. Never did something wrong. Didn't have the true will. What?
He did glow when he had the first meal.
And you know what? And if he did, that's because of a special bracha he got from Kodesh Baruch Hu, which I didn't get. I have to tell you, and when I was born, there was no glow in the house. It wasn't. So I, you know, like, you know, you hear the stories about, you know, the Vilna Gaon, he was 6 years old, he started, he, you know, he finished Pesach Zonos. So like, you feel like, okay, I'm already behind the eight ball. Moshe Rabbeinu was even worse. Right? He was born already behind the eight ball with Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, you know, he's way ahead of me already. So like, I'm never going to catch up. I never caught up with the Vilna Gaon either. You know, he was way out of the starting line. You know, he all of a sudden shot ahead of the race, way ahead of me. So my goal isn't to be the Vilna Gaon. Right? It means that the person has a kaiach of bechira, but let's talk about the musig and the kudus of bechira. Kudus of bechira means yes, you have a kaiach of bechira. A kaiach of bechira means you're going to be choosing in the realm of the area that you are ready to address at this point in time. That doesn't mean that you're absolved from the peasant can't kill you for a tzicha. But in Shemayim, the person is going to take that into consideration. I said, according to you, I said the Gemara is Gemara Menachah says that the Rosh Hashanah punishes more for a person who doesn't put in the law of the tzitzis, the person doesn't put in the tzitzis. So Sosalanta says, what's the Gemara saying? We're saying that the Rosh Hashanah in Shemayim takes human frailty into consideration. People are cheap. So, you know, the tehillah costs $100 for a street. It's a little bit harder to do. Love it costs 50 cents a street. What's your excuse? But in your world, I said, you know, a choice to do. Perfect. Like, what's the difference? Now, how do you consider the Muslim from human frailty since it's taken into consideration when it comes to din? So my human frailty that I personally have a human frailty problem and I have an anger problem is also taken into consideration. Right? So what he's going to say is each person comes with his own pack. And my goal is to address my package. And I can't look at somebody else's package. And my tab is significant in defining who I am. And this Muslim that I could just choose to be perfect and ignore my taba, it doesn't exist. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm absolved from responsibility. Right? But it does mean that I the awareness of my kaychas, which means of my teva, because kaychas are going to be equal teva. The kaychas which are going to be seen in our patterns regularly is because this is part of my reality. There's a certain amount that I'll be, there's a subconscious functioning, which I will not be aware of subconscious because it's subconscious. But if you see patterns again and again, you start realizing this is subconscious. Just playing a role. Once I'm aware of that, I can start addressing this is the vantage point that I need to focus from. Now I can take that mita and learn to sublimate it. A person who has an anger issue, is not, the goal isn't just to control it, it's to sublimate it and say, well, anger has a negative side, there's also a positive side to that mita. What's the positive side? What can I use the positive for? A person who, instead of using the issue of anger within themselves, and maybe the anger is an anger, but the issue is coming. You know, you have to figure that out. The issue is the mother, for she's being stepped on. Right? So why does she feel like that? She feels lonely about herself. Why does she feel like that? Good. How can she feel better about herself? What can the family do to help her feel better about herself? There might be a different way to address the problem. But that lakuda can be turned around and say, well, if it's a person talking, the issue is he has this righteous indignation. So what about the fact that they're not being treating your neighbor properly? Maybe use it for that instead. I once heard from Rabbi Gottlieb, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos says that a person is born in a Mazel Matin, he's going to be Shef Adam. So the Gemara says he has four choices. Either he can become a Moil, he spills blood that way. He can become a Rife, he can become a Shaychit, he can become a listed murderer. Right. The Gemara says the fifth choice isn't to become an Engel or Moshe Feinstein. That wasn't the fifth choice. He needs to find an outlet for his nature. He says, let's say he becomes a librarian. It's a muscle that he says, you never know. One day, the guy's come back with a book which is very overdue, and out comes the letter opener, and who knows what's going to happen? He's a Shefet Damim. He has that nature. He has a nature to respond significantly to something. He needs to find an outlet. Right? Becoming a librarian is not a good idea.
Doctor, I'm not so sure about being a doctor either.
A surgeon, you know. Surgeons, surgeons say cut. You know, you go surgeon for a consultation. He says, cut. You know, partially because of the money, partially because that's what they do. They see the world from their prison. The prison of a surgeon, the way you solve a problem, is by cutting it out. You know? So, you know, his point is going to be that there's a significant role which Teva plays, and which the Archino was, you can be whatever you want to be. And he's going to argue that that's not true. So what does it mean the Rambam? The Rambam means that in your realm, your Bechir is unlimited. You can choose to be the Mayo or to be the listed. That might take a process. The Rambam says the Moshe. The Rambam says go to the other extreme. The Rambam says you have a meter raw, the Eitzel goes to the other extreme. But the Vilna Gaon says it, but it means step by step. The way you're going to solve a meter raw is by moving it step by step to the other extreme to the point that you get so used to that now you can control it with the balance. Because the real goal is the balance. But you only get used to the balance if you go to the middle, you'll be swung back to that side. If you go all the way to the other side, you'll eventually be swung back to the middle. But you're not going to go from here to here overnight. It doesn't exist. There's one last motion. Let's say a person is a very, very gregarious, outgoing person. So I had a convert. I just shut the mice. I had a convert. He's a very gregarious person. He's a rogue. He's living in the mirror with him. He says he talks too much. The guy talks too much. He makes me look like, you know, like I'm a wallflower. Okay. So I remember, like, you know, he's like, no inhibition. He's like, you know, you walk into the building, we live in the same building together. You know, you walk in there, singing a song. He sees a friend across the street, he's like, I gotta go! Like, no inhibitions. You know, he's literally the radio size. He talks, he's a couple times deeper for himself. He goes one day, 2 days, 3 days, you know, he's much not talking. He told me he's ready to fall into clinical depression. The Ramon Connors is not a tipish. Ramon walks by one day. He says, Lois do a derech, and he walks by. He happened immediately. The conversation was like, Lois do a derech. He's a, you know, touching on the shoulder, Lois do a derech, and walks by. That was the whole conversation. Hayoim, this person is a Russian rabbi. I was just talking to somebody. He told me that he's a rabbi in Flatbush now. They had the Sivas Rabban in the Flatbush. He says, you know who the person who runs the show? He moved to Flatbush 3 years ago. He runs the show. He fears Tish. You're talking about, you have Rav David Cohen and Rav David and Revival Cohen, and he runs the show. And he's younger than him, and he's, you know, but that's his nature. But he used it for good. The man is positive to change his life. But that's, he decides, you know, I need to, you know, talk less. It's not going to, that wasn't the goal. The goal was to take that Chinese character that he had and use it properly. When he was younger, that's very hard, because in school it didn't necessarily work so well. As he got older, he became a very, you know, he had other outlets. Okay.